Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Happy Friday to everybody. I hope this spew sends you into the weekend in a good mood. Week 37 of 50. Soccer Dad. The Session plus Scoreboard Check. I was going to start this drop with the session I played for week 37, but then I decided to do things a little bit differently. And soon, you'll understand why. On Monday of this week, I dropped the lead up, which bridged the gap in the story of my life from the last thing I reported on last week. The final drop from last week was called The Hustler, the rest of the week. Up until I sat down for the first of two sessions I played for this week, week 37, titled Soccer Dad, because that's what I am this time of year. On Tuesday, I dropped a review of that first session I played for this week, aka the bonus session, because like the lead up and the lead out each week, it's typically for patrons only. You know, unless I'm covering a week in my life where I'm up at the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles, playing my two sessions in their awesome card room and commentating for Hustler Casino Live. This week's bonus session only took about 40 minutes to record, and since I like to give the listeners a little bit more of an escape than that each drop, if at all possible, I also started this week's lead out on Tuesday. And the lead out each week bridges the gap in the story of my life from the conclusion of the bonus session up until I sit down to play the session, which, if you haven't figured out by now, is always the second of two sessions I play in any given week. This is just the format I came up with for this season 4 of Sessions. To make sure I told the story of my life every single day of it while also dropping two session reviews a week. You know, for the patrons. The non-patrons typically just get one session review, the weekly scoreboard check, and sometimes an interview. Anyways, I concluded this week's lead out on Thursday saying I was going to dinner with some of my people in Las Vegas, and then I was going to chill for a little bit and play a session. And that's kind of what happened. But also, I did something unplanned on this night, and I think it was actually really important. After dinner and before poker, I chose to do my chilling at a strip club. Not a fancy one where you have to drop several hundred dollars, just a meat and potatoes one, if that makes sense. The place I went to is called Play It Again Sam's. It's on the busy corner of Spring Mountain and Wynn Road, right in the heart of Chinatown. I wanted to do this, A, because I find strip clubs very relaxing. I do. And B, I was really struggling to get my mind right to play the session this week. I was too burnt out from my crazy grind, too fixated on variance after running bad in some big pots lately, and so on. I'd actually tried to play the session in San Diego before I even traveled to Vegas and was unable to do it. So this is why I wanted to do something to get my mind right. And I fucking needed the escape of a strip club. I think I did. I needed to feel like my whole life wasn't just one big grind. I needed some loud music, some strong cocktails, and some beautiful women taking their tops off. I just did. Sometimes us soccer dads just need that stuff. And I'm not joking. Anyways, I left Play It Again Sam's relaxed and in a good mood. Finally ready to play some fucking cards and not worry about variance or anything else. I got to the Sahara around 10:45 p.m. on Tuesday, September 21st, and I sat down in the only game going, one I had promised to attend if it was built. A shorthanded 5-5-10, 300 to 1500, no limit hold'em game. The Hustler game, as I call it, for reasons already belabored in last week's drops. Now let's do a roll call, you know, see who the players are at the table, and then let's come in on our straddle, Because why the fuck not? Seat one is Steamy Pete. This is someone I go way back with. He's very funny, and he's quick to steam, and that's why we call him Steamy Pete. Seat two is empty, and that's fantastic. The more empty chairs at the table, the happier I am. The better I am at poker, in fact. Seat three is the Lounge Lizard. He's made several appearances in this podcast. He's racking up. He won't be playing with us. Seat four is your protagonist, the soccer dad slash strip club enthusiast known as Dragon Man. Seat five is the nicest guy in Vegas who may or may not have been with me at Played Against Sam's getting ready for this session. Seat six is the great unknown. And that's just some guy I didn't know. And since I was in a good mood, I called him the great unknown. In seat seven is a beautiful Armenian woman. She's not going to be playing. She's just going to be watching the game for a little bit. And in seat eight is the host of the game, Persuadio. He's the unofficial or official, I don't remember which one it is, poker host of the Sahara, and he organizes games, and you can hit him up on Twitter if you ever want to organize a game. They charge minuscule rake, and this person supports my podcast, so I'm always going to try and reciprocate when I can, but a big factor in me retweeting is every time I see him tweeting something is that I believe in the games that he spreads. I believe in them for the players. $5 time collection is just insane. And anyways, that's it. So the actual players are one, Steamy Pete. That's cool. I like having him in the game. Four, your protagonist. And five is the nicest guy in Vegas. That's my friend, very solid player. And six, the great unknown, the only guy at the table I don't know. And eight is Persuadio, a professional poker player, has different gears. So I come in on the 10. You can come in for free if you want, but I need to fucking feel alive on this night. I really do. I've been struggling. I've been feeling like I'm grinding myself to dust because I've been grinding myself to dust. So that's why I need to go to the strip club. And that's why I need to, I'm coming in on the straddle. It's the worst place to come in a vacuum. It's where I need to come in on this night. And the great unknown limps. Just some guy, maybe, you know, late 40s, maybe Asian. I don't know. And I don't know him in whatever. He limps, and that's what people will do. And also, the first person was the nice guy in Vegas. He folded. He's a tag. And then the great unknown limps. And then Persuadio folds the small blind. And then the middle blind is Steamy Pete. He puts in five more. He seems very weak. I go to 60 with Jack 9 offsuit. I know Steamy Pete has a bad hand, and he'll probably fold. I don't know about the great unknown, obviously. So I think he could fold a good amount here. And even if not, he's pretty deep. And just because we're at the Sahara, I imagine he's not used to playing against very aggressive players. He's not, which means you don't have to put a lot of money in unless you have a monster. If you play low stakes poker, you just shouldn't be putting in a lot of money unless you have a monster. But I'm going to use that to my advantage if I profile you as such, right? So I'm gonna be happy to play bad hands. Because we're deep enough, right? And he calls. And he could have folded, but he calls. Big deal. We got $135 in the pot, and I have Jack 9 offsuit out of position. And the flop comes down, queen, 8, 6, rainbow. Okay? And so this is actually a flop where I'm going to bet. I'm a big fan of checking out of position and always c-betting in position as a default. And that always means that's my rules, but there are exceptions. And this is a flop where I'm definitely going, in a situation where I'm definitely going to bet. And I expect this player is going to be the least sticky player at the table, right? Because he's the only one who doesn't know me. Everyone else at the table is never folding anything to me. Okay, so I bet 80, and he calls. He could have folded, sure, just like he could have folded pre-flop. He calls a little too quickly, though, for his sake, because, you know, I'm a live pro, a vet, and I get, you know, information by how quickly people call and whatnot. And so the turn is a great card for me. It's a king, right? I was the preflop squeezer. And if I didn't have it before, I should have it now. And his quick call told me he didn't have a queen. He had maybe an eight or, you know, probably just an eight, That was the bulk of his range. And so I just sat up in my chair. I shut up. I was probably talking. I shut up and I got serious for a second. And then I placed six green birds out in front of me. That's $150 and it's a strong line. And it looks strong and it just wasn't strong, but it looked strong and he folded quickly. The great unknown did. And you have to show one card if you win a pot in this game. It's a friendly game. So I showed which one would you show here? It's queen, 8-6, king. You squeeze pre-flop, you bet flop, you bet turn. I showed the jack, thinking I could rep king jack. I don't know. I always try and show the better one. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I don't want them to think that I am, you know, a bluffer if they don't know me. If they know me, who cares? But I always try and show the best card. And now it's time for my worst play. And don't worry, it's not that bad. But it's just a little too fancy and then a little too sticky. And I'll explain. So Persuadio is the 10. And I am the button. And the nicest guy in Vegas is a small blind for 5. The great unknown is a big blind for 5. Or let's go small blind, middle blind. Big blind is 10. Persuadio. Well, Steamy Pete limps first in, and I have king 10 offsuit, and I decide to just overlimp the button with this hand. It would be better as a raise because it just would be, and but I overlimped. I got a little fancy, and then Persuadio, when it got back to him, he squeezed, and I just felt like at this point he has a good hand, and Steamy Pete called. He's very loose. Very sticky player. And I called with king 10 offsuit. So I overlimped and overcalled. And I should have actually raised the first time around. And I probably should have folded here. I am trying to tighten some things up in my game. And these dominated hands in you know, against squeezes, they're not good, right? So I should have just made it 40 the first time it was on me. And then if I decided to overlimp, sometimes you'll have reasons to do that. And I did, but once I decided to do that, I should have folded to the squeeze. Well, so I played preflop bad, and preflop is my worst street by a fucking country mile. Everyone who knows me or has ever listened to this knows that, and it's usually, it's a lot of it's lack of patience, but I'm also just doing so much of the table. I autopilot everything pre, and if I haven't put work in on my game pre, it shows up. And here's an example of playing a hand bad preflop. But I'm pretty good after the flop. And sometimes I get good flops. Just like with the jack 9, I got the queen 8-6 king. That's a good run out. And I knew the guy had an 8. So that just is really nice. So the flop comes jack 8-7. And Persuadio's out of position with, I think, a pretty strong range. But he's going to check here. He checks. And when he checks, I just feel like he does c-bet with big pairs or top pair or better almost always here. And it's just kind of a bad situation for him. This flop mashes our ranges. The limp callers on jack 8-7, you're going to blast into them if you have ace, queen, ace, king. I don't think so. I think you're going to check. And Steamy Pete checked. You know, he could have little pairs here. I just felt like they couldn't call if I bet. And I have a gut shot, of course. And I have the quote-unquote range advantage, and I just bet. And they both folded pretty quickly. So, and I showed the 10, right? Because that's a respectable card. How the fuck do you say that word? Respectable card to show a 10 on jack 8-7. You could have jack 10. You could have flopped the joint, 10-9. You could have 8-10. I had king 10. So, played that hand poorly pre-flop. It was easy after the flop. I was in position. Being in position is nice. And, you know, I had a good card and whatever. So, things are going well straight from played against Sims. I won the first pot. I won about $150 with Jack High. And I won the second one about $150 again, if I had to guess, with King High. And so now it's time to make a hand. And no one knows that I've bluffed both hands. I would never tell anyone that I did until after the fact. I bluffed both. And anyways, here we go. I have pocket eights in a multi-way bloater. And if you listen to this podcast, I don't know if it tilts you or not, but you're definitely aware of it, that I focus greatly on these multi-way bloater pods where I'm not playing as big as I have my whole career. And when you're playing bigger, there's just not a bunch of multi-way bloaters, right? There's some, but usually it's heads-up pots or maybe three-way, right? It's not like five people in. So if you flop a set, someone's going to have a top pair and you're getting the money, especially if you have my image, right? So these are just such great spots. They're just such profitable spots. And so I do focus on when I miss them. And that's why I have my helpers. I have, you know, sound guy even helps sometimes, and my friend Cindy and the spirit of Whitney Houston often help me tell the story, right, of when I am in a great spot and I whiff. And so I'm not going to complain because I'm in a good mood. I'm winning. You're not going to flop a set every time, or eights can actually flop other stuff that's good, but you're not going to. So I just want to celebrate this whiff because this is kind of the mood I'm in on this night. So first, I'm going to ask my sound guy and Cindy, who are, they spend a lot of time together these days. I'm going to ask them to together tell you all what I flopped.
Nothing.
That's right. And that's totally okay. And now, Cindy, just you tell them what I flopped. Nothing. Very nice. And since this is a celebration of whiffing, and that's the difference between going into a session not worried about shit. You just got all the perspective in the world by this great distraction at this strip club, and it didn't cost you that much money. And so you win the first hand, and the board runs out great for you when you have the jack nine. You play the next one bad with king 10 offsuit and a couple spots pre-flop. So what? You get a nice flop, and they whiff. It's nice. You get pocket eights, you whiff. Who cares? You're happy. And so since I'm happy, Whitney, I want you to bring us home and just reinforce what I flopped in this multi-way bloater with my first real hand. Absolutely. Thank you all for doing that. So we've reported on three hands, and now it's time to report on my best play, the fourth hand of note. I do some fancy stuff. I do some silly stuff. I am very social at the table. That's why my game always goes, well, typically goes all night long, and every other game in the casino can break because people are just done playing poker. But I do everything I can to make it fun. And sometimes I do what I did here. I call dark in the small blind. And that means, oh, here's what happened, was this hand was only three-handed. I don't know who was up, but I just called. So it's 5-5-10. The 10 is the button, Steamy Pete. And I just called here dark because I'm just probably not going to be raising a bunch from the small blind against this player. Very sticky, very aggressive. So I just called dark, and the nicest guy in Vegas folds. And what? And that's it. I think it was just a three-handed one. And now Steamy Pete, or I'm not sure exactly how it worked, but he had $10 on the button. So, yeah, I guess he, or maybe he straddled the 20 on the button. Fuck. It's my best play. I don't even remember it. I want to say it was just three-handed at this. So people were up. Someone's taking a piss. Someone's having a ciggy, whatever it is. And I called dark and small blind. That's not important. And I don't know what my hand is, but I want to get in there. I don't want to blow up any pots out of position against this particular player. And anyways, he goes to 50 more. And I look down, I have pocket jacks. And we're not super deep. I probably have $1,250 maybe, if I had to guess. And he's got me covered. And we're not super deep. So I don't want to go too big with my jacks. I go 100 more because I'm locked right now. I think 100 more will fold out all his horrible hands. It's kind of a big sizing he took. 100 more will fold out all his garbage, and it'll keep in some good stuff. And I have jacks, and I have some you know, stacked up to work with. Well, he quickly goes 350 more. Holy shit. So 460 total. And when he does this, just something twinges in my head. And it's that old thing. I put him on ace king. Well, I put him on fucking ace king. And just, if you've been up against ace king a million times and people do the same shit every time they have it and it's pretty universal. You can just say, like, this guy has fucking ace king and I have jacks, and so, and he just made it a lot. And so how to proceed? Should I jam here? And then he'll want to run it twice, and we will. And no, that seems fucking weak. I have a slightly better hand than him. Especially if we're only going to play the flop, then I have a much better hand than him. Like, ace-king is, you know, just, it's a flip against a pocket pair, which means it's a slight dog. But it's a flip because you're going to see all five. If you're only going to see three, ace-king's in bad shape against pocket pair. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to feign some weakness and act like I'm calling because I just came from the strip club. And so I did that. Feign some weakness and call. And let's just see a good flop. Well, we get 4-4-6. That's not a bad flop at all. And you had some options here. The pot's big. I could bet, but I don't want to give him any reason to fold. And I just have a, he's steamy Pete. I have a feeling he's just going to steam all his chips in if I check. And so I just think and I check, and he goes all in, and I snap call. Just fucking snap call. And he seems deflated, and he says, how many times? And it's like in slow motion. And I know he has ace king. I knew it before, and just by his deflation, it's confirming it. And well, when he says how many times in slow motion, the dealer has already put the turn card out there. And the dealer now hears this in slow motion too. And he slams his hand over the turn card to try and hide it from me to see if I want it. You know, which is pretty good. He's trying to give us an option to run it more than once. But when he slams his hand over the turn card, he doesn't cover it all the way. And we both look at it, and it's a jack. So I say, sorry, Steamy Pete, you're dead. I turn over my hand, and that's a double up for the soccer dad. Oh, the you know, he was drawing dead, and I don't even know what the river was. So that was nice. The best play was just, it's easy to, what? Was preflop calling dark? Yeah, that's fine. I know I'm not going to be blowing up pots out of position against this guy, and there are certain players you just don't want to do that against. So calling dark's fine. I also want to be in there with him. And it's fine. It's not genius. It's not horrible. It's just fine. It's probably the best thing to do there, given the game flow and everything else. And then when he raises 50 more, that's a big size raise. And so going 100 more will fold out all his trash if he's just trying to steal and show a bad hand, right? And it gives you room to work with after the flop. And I'm ready to play jacks out of position because I'm relaxed. And then when he goes 350 more quickly and you know it's ace king, well, sometimes you're gonna think maybe it's not ace king, maybe it's ace queen, and maybe if I just call and the flop comes king high, I'm gonna fold the best hand. No, it's not true. It's just good. He has ace king, so I prefer to, I don't have any fold equity here, obviously preflop. I prefer to feign a little weakness and just check and hopefully see a good flop and lose no more when it comes an ace or a king. And get the money in really good when it doesn't. And that's what happened. And so, I don't know. It's easy to just jam there and say, I don't want to think about this hand anymore. No, I do, because I'm relaxed. I don't know. So, next note is whiff. Next note is small cooler. Who cares? So, I wasn't feeling entitled at all on this night. And the next note is I have the nut flush draw, and I fold on the turn. It's a ace board, and I had like king whatever of hearts, and I folded because the great unknown seemed a little too strong. So he could have already had a boat, or at the very minimum, he had trip aces, and calling with a flush draw there, it's rough. It's just, I don't know. It's dicey. Sometimes you got to do some math, and sometimes you have enough equity, but he bet. He just seemed so strong. I folded nut flush draw on the turn. Okay. And then I got in a five-way. People are back at the table, I guess. I got in a five-way bloater with 7-4 of diamonds. And here's how. Okay, so there's some limpage, and I limped 7-4 diamonds. Whatever. And what happens here? Oh, and Persuadio squeezes. And when he squeezed last time, it was probably to the same size. He went to 75. And I should have folded King 10 offsuit to squeeze because it seems pretty strong. He seems like he's playing pretty normal. Pretty solid, pretty fucking, you know, solid player style shit tonight. Not always, but it seems like he is on this night. And so definitely got to fold the King 10 offsuit, even though you're in position three ways. Well, I didn't, and I won, remember, on Jack 8-7. 7-4 diamonds is different. this has nothing to do with his range, right? I mean, he could have diamonds, but who gives a shit? So I am in here, and it's a five-way. It's all the players at the table are in for 75 each, and flop fucking, we all flop nothing. I got it, guys. We all flop nothing, I think, because we all check. But I have, it's maybe like jack eight deuce, maybe something like that. And everyone checks, five of us. And, you know, we got $375 out there, if my math is correct. And there's not taking any chips out of the pot. This is a $5 collection game. And so I didn't flop anything. It's fine. But it feels like no one did. And then the turn is a four. And now Persuadio delayed c-bets. Okay. And Steamy Pete folds. And I just think I have the best hand. And I, with, you know, third pair. And I call. And the players behind me fold. And the river's nothing. And he checks. And I'm happy to show down my pair. And it's good. He had ace king. So he had a good hand. He squeezed. And he flopped nothing. And turned nothing. And rivered nothing. And, well, I turned a pair. And I want a nice pot here. And now Steamy Pete steams off. He was very steamed up after he didn't get to run it twice. And, you know, I go way back with him. We needle each other. We've played heads up a bunch. And he's the kind of guy that likes to get needled after a big pot. And he gets steamy. And that's why he's Steamy Pete. And, you know, later I was sending him text messages about how steamy he was. That's how it goes. And anyways, he steams off somewhere else. And I said, man, you can't steam off. And he said, yes, I can. And then the great unknown grabs racks. Oh, shit. What's happening to my game here? So it's just me and two patrons, two people who support my content. And I don't want to play. I don't want to play three-handed with two patrons. Not because I, you know, I love three-handed, right? But I don't want to play against these two guys. Like that's gross. It doesn't feel right. And because someone's going to lose, and it's, I don't know. But I'm also the one winning. I'm also the one running the hottest since I got there. I've only been there for an hour and a half. So I say, it's up to you guys. Like, I'll never quit being the guy that's up, right? And I just got here. If, you know, Persuadio's stuck, and nicest guy's not stuck. But I just said, like, if you want to play another half hour, you want to keep playing whatever you want. And so it's decided that we're going to play another half hour. And nothing really happens in the next half hour. Maybe a couple small bluffs. Didn't make any hands. And then it doesn't even go a half hour because nicest guy in Vegas and Persuadio get it all in. And nicest guy wins. And I don't know what the exactly details of the hand. I know nicest guy had ace, queen of diamonds. And so the game ends. And it was a quick session. So only 2 hours about, and I won about three lives, which is nice. And that's, since it was such a short session, that's why I did the prelude to the session, you know. And now I'm gonna do something else that I don't normally do. Before we check the STP scores, I want you all to come with me, the nicest guy in Vegas, Persuadio, and the lounge lizard, who's just been hanging around the lounge, I guess. And we're all gonna go to the Kaz Bar, and that's just pretty cool bar. It's a Sahara. And I didn't win a ton on this night, right? But I only played 2 hours and I won the most by far. So drinks are on me. One round on me. And so just come chill with us. Get a taste of the poker pro life. You know, the session's over. The guy who won better buy the fucking drinks. And then we'll definitely check the STP scores before we leave. And so what do you guys want? Okay, so Persuadio and Lounge Lizard are both going to sting me for Manhattans. So those are going to be pricey. There's some fancy people, Persuadio and Lounge Lizard. That's fine. Me and the nicest guy in Vegas are going to get Modelos. After tip, $70. Just say I'm just getting one round. And it seems like a punt of money. It's just the fucking culture of poker pro life. And especially with, like, you know, people you're cool with. And so now we're talking about whatever. I'm asking him, like, man, I found out he's doing all this work for the Sahara and they're not paying him. And maybe he's probably thinking, why are you telling the world this? Cause I am. I mean, you didn't tell me to tell the world, but they should be paying him, right? They're not. And I'm like, man, just go somewhere that'll fucking pay you. Like, go to Resorts World. They have this beautiful room. And he's like, well, why don't you do that? And I said, that's a good point. Like, I do, when I'm in LA, I'm going to play my sessions at the Hustler. And it makes sense when I'm in Vegas to play my sessions somewhere and promote the place by talking about it and build games. Anywhere I'm going to be playing, I'm going to be building good games. So it pays for itself. And we're just talking about different, we're trying to be a little smarter as quote unquote influencers. And we're also just talking about poker dying. They think it's dying and they think poker might be gone from Vegas soon, from like most places except for like Bellagio and, you know, Venetian, whatever. I don't think poker's dying. I don't think it's something that will die. I think there are obvious reasons why it's dried up. And that's just short-sighted behavior by poker pros. That's clear, right? So short-sighted, just seat change, fucking never talk, never give an inch, three bet every single time it makes sense to three bet in a vacuum. Dumb fucking shit. You got to know when to not three bet a motherfucker. If someone's having a horrible night and you got to know when to let up, right? And you got to know when to give action and know when to say, okay, I'll do a fucking big flip with you right now. And know when to say, let's just get drunk and let's not play tonight. And just whatever it is, you got to know this shit. And it's just, you know, short-sighted behavior has really fucked the games. You know, as evidenced by, I play in Las Vegas and San Diego, and I'm often playing in the biggest no-limit game going in Las Vegas or San Diego, and they're fucking not big. And it's not because people don't have money. People have money, but the big games just got sucked dry by fucking grinders and whatnot. And they're talking about, well, there should be slot machines. I disagree. I think people are getting smarter about slot machines and pit games in general. Who's going to go, you know, it's just, people are just getting smarter. That like, oh, I can't beat this shit. So no one's going to go fucking play slot machines in pit games like they used to. And we're just, you know, having this conversation and I'm disagreeing with him. I don't think poker is dead. I think poker can be rekindled very easily if people just get a fucking clue. And I'm talking to all you pros listening right now. Get a fucking clue, if you don't mind, for all of our sake. But you just gotta think longer term. And anyways, it gets a little blurry. As you know, that's partly lack of sleep, partly alcohol. And Lounge Lizard and Persuadio leave. And so I said we would check the STP scores before we left the Sahara. But on the note of who the fuck is going to go in the pit when you know you're drawing dead there, well, me and the nicest guy in Vegas are on this night. Not a lot. We're just going to form a mini corporation. If you were listening a few weeks ago, we had five people, a five-person corporation, and we each put in 200. So we had a little $1,000 bankroll, and we got them at Resorts World. We stung them a little bit. It was fine. I was locked in as the shot caller. Nice Guy in Vegas was a driver. Marley and Derek GMZ were the shooters, and Stu was, you know, just the calming presence there. And I don't know. I think that was for patrons only, but whatever. We're going to do that again. Nicest likes to gamble. I like to gamble. And I just said, who's going to play these pit games? And that was a setup. We are. Just on this night, I need to fucking feel alive. $200. Who gives a shit? Honestly, who does? And so now you're going to come with us to the crafts table and just get a taste of this. And then we will check the scores. And then it'll be kind of an early day for a Friday. Maybe not. We'll see. So I give him $200 and he pulls out $200 and he puts $400 on the table. And there's only one craps table open at the Sahara on this night. And, you know, it's whatever time it is. It's after midnight now. And there's one guy playing and it's this black dude and he's on fucking tilt. He's on tilt and he's down to scraps. And his bet is $10 on the pass line. It says 25 now on the thing. So they've raised it on this night. Maybe they're trying to close down the pit. I don't know what it is. But and maybe that makes sense. Maybe craps tables take a lot of labor. If there's what? You need four people, I think. Maybe you can get away with three, but you need at least three people. So maybe they are just trying to close it up, and that's why they raised the limits. It's Sahara on fucking, you know, at whatever time this is, it's dead. So there's one black dude, and he's got, like, scraps, and he's on tilt, and he's talking shit to the stick man, and he's saying, fuck you. He said, I'll make sure you never work in this town again. Fuck you. And it's like, oh, shit, this is not the vibe you want. You need a good vibe if you want to win at dice. And so he this guy busts, right? And, you know, and luckily we don't bust while he's there. But he busts and he says, fuck you. And he grabs both of his drinks. He has a cocktail and a beer. I like that. At least he's getting value for whatever he lost. And he storms off. Now it's just me and the nice guy in Vegas at this table with the stick man, whatever the other person's called, and the floor man, and maybe one other person. And so the plan is for nicest guy in Vegas to throw. He's been on a heater, and he knows how unlucky I have been for years. I have. I've been very unlucky in poker, gambling, everything for a long time. And he's been on a heater, so he starts throwing, and he's our shooter, and he's doing okay, but not great. And then he looks at me, and he says, are you ready? And I said, you know what? I am ready. I think played against Sam's was a turning point. And he says, okay, the dice are yours. Okay. So, man, I'm like the last person you would want with dice in the last several years, but I feel different on this night. And I roll, and it's like a, you know, it's whatever. It's one of the points. And I hit the point. Boom. Here we go. Let's go. And then, so it's off, and then it's on, and I hit another point. And we're high-fiving. We're ready to go. Okay, good. We're gonna sting them for a little bit. Not a lot. We don't want to. You can only skin a sheep once, and in this case, the Sahara crabs table. But you can shear it. So we don't want to, you know, end them. We don't want to take all their chips. We just want to sting them for a little bit. We want to shear them. Anyways, the stick man that was getting yelled at is the absolute fucking worst person I've come across, maybe in my entire life. And I've come across a lot of bad people. He is so fucking. He's corrosive. He's pushing us. We're winning a little bit. And he's like, are we doing good for you? Are we doing good enough for you guys? He's trying to get tips. And he keeps pushing the dice in front of me and like tilting when I take a sip of my beer. And the nicest guy is like, man, we'll tip at the end or whatever. Nicest guy is too nice. And I, you know, if you could win at craps with a bad vibe, I would tell this guy, you're fucking out of line, man. But I know, because me and my friend Des Bryant one time lost, I think, 40K. And because Des Bryant ruined the vibe. They shorted us on a payout, and Des Bryant got tilted, and it ruined the vibe, and the dice got cold. You can't do that. So I tell the stick man, I said, look, I'm from Southern California. I like to chill. We're the only customers you got in here right now. I'm going to throw, but I'm also going to take sips of my beer. That's what I do. And he's just the absolute fucking worst person. Now I see why that guy was tilting on him. And if I lost at poker, if I didn't go to play it against Sam's and get, you know, relaxed and like chill and perspective, like, fuck, man, it's okay. It's all okay. I would be like, fuck you. I would be the black dude that was playing before us. And that guy is now at another craps table trying to get them to start it. And he's throwing his fucking hat on the ground, throwing a temper tantrum. And I don't blame him. This stick man is the worst fucking person I've ever come across in my life. Potentially. I've come across some bad people, some real fucking bad people. And I don't know. I mean, the nicest guy in Vegas is like, what the fuck? I wonder if they get bonuses on losses. It's really weird. I don't understand it. I don't know. So yeah, I'm just thinking, like, what would the old school mob bosses who started Vegas, what would they be thinking right now? They must be turning over in their graves, because I'm pretty sure Vegas used to be customer service town, like a soft hustle, like poker is or should be, right? Where like you give good service and yeah, you're going to get the best of it, right? And that's all people want. That's all whales at poker tables want, is they want to have fun and be treated well, and they want it to be a good experience. All people who are gambling on, you know, craps or whatever, they just want it to be fucking fun. They don't want to be pushed and like badgered and whatever. I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. Yeah. So another guy is saying, like, nice guy starts, you know, betting for them. And this guy is like out like, he's saying, like, he wants us to, like, you know, crap out. Like, what a fuckhead. A different guy. I don't know. So, you know, he nice guy only wants me to roll now because he's cold and I'm hot. And, you know, I just have to tell the stick man to fucking relax. And we're up to 700. So we're up about 300. And thank God the stick man leaves. I don't know. Thank God his shift was over or whatever. And this black woman comes in and she's the opposite. She's the best person I've ever met. She's just got a sweet smile. She's got a mask on, but you can tell by her eyes. She's smiling and you can tell it's sweet. All right, good. Thank God. And you know, now I'm gonna get locked in. And I tell the nice guy in Vegas, I say, put 25 on hard six. I said, I'm gonna hang the dice up in the air a little bit longer than normal, and I'm gonna roll a 33. And he just, you know, he's like, okay, good. Throws it out there, 25 out there, and we have whatever, 100 and something on the regular six, maybe 200 and something. And I just, you know, I channeled Derek Gomez, Derek GMZ. He's one of the best shooters I've ever seen, and it's just beautiful. And I just channeled him, and I just hung the dice in the air a little longer, and it came down 33. And we're fucking high-fiving. We're having so much fucking fun on this night all around. Dinner was amazing. Strip club was so fun. Just chill. Like, not aggressive at all. Not like you have to spend a million. No, you just go tip a few bucks when you want. You have some drinks. You enjoy the atmosphere. I don't know. We're having a blast here. And now we're up to $1,200. And that's what I said we were going to sting them for. I said, we're going to run up to 12. We'll take our four each, and then we'll move on, right? But we decided, you know what? Sometimes you got to push it, and let's see what happens now. And, you know, I had him try and throw again, but he was off, and then, I was refreshed. And so we went on a little cold run, okay? And that's going to happen sometimes. But you know what we did? We didn't chase. We got to 760 when cashed out. We won 180 each, and he probably tipped 50 bucks total, which he should have tipped zero. I don't know. I have to, maybe someone can explain this to me, why the customer service is so bad in the pits. It's so bad. Like, they don't want you to play. Even Resorts World, they were like, the guy was like sticking his arms out while we're throwing the dice, like trying to fucking knock the, it's crazy. I don't know if they get paid on losses or what. I don't know. But anyways, okay, now we will go check the scores now. So, nicest guy in Vegas. You go cash out our craps roll. I'm going to take all these people to the sports book. It's here at the Sahara, and we'll check the STP scores. Okay. So hopefully you guys didn't mind that prelude where I told you what we did before. I thought it was important. It was just one of those weird things where, like, I needed to just stop giving a shit about everything. Once you stop giving a shit about everything for an hour or whatever, then you can go back refreshed and, like, oh, I'm playing poker? Things aren't so bad. Like, this is my job, playing poker. It's not so bad. And who cares if I have run bad a lot in recent times? And just that stuff's not even entering my mind. And so I wanted to tell that because the session got cut short because Steamy Pete steamed off. The Great Unknown grabbed racks and whatever. So I wanted to do that. And then I wanted you all to get a taste of the poker pro life of, you know, you play with people, and then after it's over, okay, whoever wins buys the fucking drinks, obviously. And then, you know, we just wanted, me and the nice guy in Vegas wanted to live our lives a little bit on this night. And so just, you know, invest a tiny amount in some fun. And we managed to have fun despite someone very tilted at the table when we got there. But it was because of the people that worked there, specifically this one older stick guy. I think the worst fucking person I've ever met in my life. I think this guy makes Freddy Krueger seemed pretty fucking chill. And I've never met Freddy Krueger, but he kind of looked like him, if that makes any sense. I don't know, but I wanted you guys to get a taste of that. And then, but now let's check the scores. And do you guys like the Sahara? It's not bad, huh? I mean, that stick man's the worst, but it's got some good stuff. Okay. Here we are. We don't need to worry about the NBA, the WNBA scores, the NBA preseason, the NFL. We don't need to worry about those lines or anything. We need to worry about the STP for Save the Princess, because that's the goal of this year. And what the fuck does that mean, Save the Princess? It means at the beginning of this year, I said, whoa, this podcast takes all my energy. I need to start making some money and I need my startup to start doing better. And if it does, I have to, you know, I have to beat it. I have to beat these goals. I have to say, make it a video game. I have to save the princess. And that way we can go on to season 5. Otherwise, it's over and it's been a good run. Looks like we're going to get there. Let's see if it still looks like we're going to get there. Okay. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter if it does. It's Friday. Who gives a shit? Okay, under, you can see up there, under STP, it says hours 386 of 370. So 370 is the pace. 10 hours a week is the lofty goal I set for myself. It's true. I was so burned out on poker, I had to set a lofty goal of 10 hours of play a week because I have so much other stuff going on. And so after 37 weeks, the pace will be 370. We're at 386. Makes sense. It's nice to be ahead. It makes sense. We had 378 hours after week 36. I played 8 more in this week 37. 2 in the, you know, in the session you just heard about here at the Sahara before we went to the Casbar and the craps table. And 6 in the first session I played this week at Ocean's 11, where I used my spewy image to get all the money in with pocket kings versus ace jack on jack 5-5. And, well, you can ask a patron if I held in that one. Anyways, here's the thing. All drops of sessions will be public when I'm covering a week where I was up at the Hustler, as mentioned. They're my sponsor, and we found a way to do it with no ads because I'm an idealist when it comes to this podcast. It's my third child. I don't want to have ads in here. And so on those weeks, you will hear 4 drops. But normally, you're only going to hear 2 drops, and sometimes you're only going to hear 1 drop if you're not a patron. Like this week, this is the only one that's public. And yeah, and the other ones, the ones that are private, they're more intimate because I don't really want to share the details of my life with nits. And I'm not saying that if you're not a patron, you're a nit. But if you are a patron, you're not a nit. So it's just a way to make sure nits aren't listening to that shit because nits drive me crazy. And they're typically very judgmental. And I can't handle judgmental at this point. I feel like people who are judgmental, well, some people are stupid and they're judgmental. Okay, that's fine. But people who are kind of smart and are judgmental, that is weird. That's like the most fake smart shit of all time, being judgmental. I think if you really think about shit, you won't be judgmental. Anyways, I'm on a judgmental rant. I don't like that. I don't like nits. Whatever. I'm just saying, if you want to get 4 drops a week, you want to hear all the intimate shit, and you know, you want to hear about that bonus session at Ocean's 11 where I got it in with kings against ace jack on jack 5-5, and or you just want to hear all the seasons of sessions. There's like 700 drops total. A bunch of interviews with Garrett Adelstein, Matt Berkey, Matt Moore, so many others. Well, it's $4.22 a month or more at patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. And it's just easy. You go on there. It's easy to sign up. It's easy to hook up that RSS feed. The simple instructions come in an email that I wrote for anyone who signs up. And yeah, and then if you want to be part of the community, well, that's easy too. Once your first payment's gone through, you just go to dgafcommunity.com, create a screen name and a password, and it knows if you've paid and it lets you in if you have. Okay. That was, you know, we'll go quicker. The second line under STP up there, you can see it says Poker Rags 842 of 681. So this is our best line, and it has been for many, many months. At the beginning of the year, we were behind pace, and then I started bringing people on, forming a team behind me, and that's why it's ahead. It could be way more ahead. We just need to, we're close. Anyways, looks like we had a decent week. So it's very small. I have great vision. I'll tell you who scored points for us in week 37, who the MVP was, and who got Employee of the Week. So you can't see it. It's so small, but I can. It says Mike in Las Vegas, Nevada, got us a point. Thank you very much, Mike in Las Vegas, Nevada. Appreciate it. Elliot in Irvine, California, a point. Thank you very much, Elliot. Robin in Burnaby, British Columbia, 2 points. Sorry, that one's even smaller writing. Thank you very much, Robin. And so how do you get a point? You buy something from my startup, PokerX, PokerX.us. And how do you get 2 points? You order 2 things, or you get something from my page on the team PokerX. You just click on DGAF. Anything under mine, 2 points. Okay. Now, I'm almost positive this is a legend of poker. Sarah from Shorewood, Wisconsin. I think this is Sarah Z from 2 Plus 2. If you're old school, you probably know that name. And thank you, Sarah. Appreciate it. 3 points. So 3 points will win you MVP some weeks. Not this week, because some heavy hitters in this week, including Douglas in Columbia, Missouri, got 6 points, which should win you the MVP most weeks. It didn't, Douglas, but we greatly appreciate that big order. And do you guys mind chanting MVP? The Sahara doesn't give a shit. Just do it, and then I'll read you off who it was. Thank you. Your week 37 most valuable purchaser from Huntley, Illinois, Timothy. 8 points this week. Thank you very much, Timothy, and congrats on winning MVP. We appreciate everyone who orders, and we got total of 21 points this week. So that's pretty good. And if you look up there, it says Employee of the Week DGAF. That's nice. It says full audit. And I don't need to tell you the details of that. It just means I've been doing a lot of work to make sure all our designs are pure and they're all placed correctly and they're on everything they can be on. And there's many options for women and men and so on. And yeah, it's nice that the Nevada Gaming Commission recognizes my hard work. And sometimes I do it when I can barely stay awake and when I'm on, you know. And full disclosure, that's one of those times right now. I've just been going too hard, as I usually do. So if this drop wasn't the best, I apologize. It'll be better next time, hopefully. And if you also want to put points on this line, this Poker Eggs line, which makes you literally part of the story because you're helping to keep the podcast going and you get your name shouted out. And you're also sprucing up your wardrobe with the, you know, most comfortable shit you can buy with the coolest designs on the planet. It's true. It's a fact. Just head on over to PokerEggs.us and start clicking. And click until your hands start cramping. And then fight through that pain and keep clicking until they're bleeding. I don't know. And I guess that is an ad. I said I don't like ads in my content. But it is part of the story if you think about it. Anyways, we'll keep going here and then I'll get some sleep. And the next time you hear from me, I will have slept a little bit. Okay. Up there, the third score under STP says results 78 of 75. And so that's one loss and one win this week because we had 78 points last week. So we're 50 and 24 on the year. 50 wins, 24 losses. And the goal is to win 2 out of 3. So we're slightly ahead of pace, obviously. And I think that says a lot about live poker. I don't play big, but I am playing the biggest games going in San Diego and Vegas pretty much. And I'm going into them on fumes, which unfortunately I do a lot of my stuff on fumes these days, just everything. And I got to rectify that. But, and sometimes I'm going in overserved because I need to decompress from all my work and all my parenting. I decompress at the poker table and, you know, sometimes I'm right out of the strip club too. So I don't know. Let's get through this. Okay, look up there. The fourth score under STP says Patrons, 380 of 370. Whoa, we are ahead of pace here. This is the one that's probably most important to me because it's my salary. And we've been way behind, I think, all year. And we've just closed the gap all the way. And we're actually ahead of pace. And that makes me very happy. And let me see what happened here. It's very small. This is the first time we've been, you know, above water, as I used to say that, in months. And it makes me feel good. So it looks like Matt signed up. That's 4 points on the board. And a new patron. And maybe a new member of DGAF community. Thank you, Matt. Then Sun signed up. Thank you, Sun. 4 more points. Same stuff. Jimmy signed up. 4 more points. Thank you, Jimmy. Then Foxy signed up. And Foxy came in as a slacker. And that means they came in instead of 422, 844, and they get more perks and all that. Thank you very much, Foxy, and thanks for those 4 points on the board. And then Mateo came in. It's another 4 points on the board. And then I got a raise. Andy gave me a raise from, he was at $10, went to $15. This made an appearance in earlier in one of the drops this week where same type of situation. I was so tired, I almost couldn't go on, right? And where I'm at right now, to be honest. But I was thinking about laying in bed, but I also just feel better when I get work done. And I saw this raise from Andy, and then the next person, Paul, signed up, and it just lit a fire under my ass, and I came out and put out some good content. And yeah, so thank you, Andy, for that raise. Thank you, Paul, for, you know, signing up. 4 more points. And so did Justin. This is a big week. 28 points. No one canceled. If you cancel, it's -4. No one did. 28 points. That's sick. That makes me happy. Okay. And now for the score. And the fifth and final line up there under STP. It's a, you know, it's a consolidation of the 4 scores above it. And it's called Countdown to 2022. Because if we get to 2022 points total by December 19th of this year, Sessions lives on in the year 2022. And this one says 1686 of 1496. So we're almost 200 points ahead of pace to keep this podcast alive. And we are 74% of the way through our journey, the Save the Princess journey. That's just the theme of this year. Next year will be something different. And it looks like we're going to get to next year. Anyways, before we say our goodbyes and I get some sleep and come back stronger next time, my bad. I want to thank everyone who has put points on the STP scoreboard thus far, you know, in this make or break season 4. And a very special thanks, of course, to all the patrons for their continued support. You all are something. And I'll see all the patrons on Monday. And the rest of you, probably on Thursday, maybe on Friday, for week 38 of season 4 of Sessions, titled A Less Angry Pawn. And oh yeah, whether you are a patron or not, whether you typically listen to Sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Play It Again, Sam's. I mean, Raising the Nuts. Okay, sound guy, let's go tuck some bucks, and then I got to get some sleep because I got soccer in the morning. I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. That's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know. We're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm going to need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Because otherwise...